Blog Talk Radio.
This is for everybody who's been restored. D. Lawrence coming at you. Get up. Come on, y'all. Let's sing this song. Like that. Oh, you only knew. Right now, I stand before you.
Everybody.
glory to God. I really, really, really like that song. I may have some scars, but I'm healed. Glory to God. I may have some disappointments, but I'm still healed. Circumstances, I'm still healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I stand on the word of God today that I am healed. The Bible teaches us that whatever we pray believing, doubting nothing, we can have it. Whatever we pray believing, doubting nothing, we can have it. So, and the Bible also tells us that these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of those signs is you can lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And you don't have to go to church for somebody to lay hands on. You lay hands on yourself. Lay hands on yourself. Or if you have somebody in your home that is anointed and you know they love God and know God and have the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit flowing in them, ask them to lay hands on you. Sometimes I don't feel like it, and I'll say, honey, I need you to pray. And sometimes he won't even lay hands on me. He'll just pray, glory to God, and whatever ails me is going away. I'll tell him when I'm having a headache. I'll tell him, you know, when something is going on, I'll be like, honey, I really, really, really need you to pray for me. And then whatever is going on, he prays for me. And I just got, by accident, messed up my broadcast over here on Spreaker. I just turned it off by accident. But we're going to go ahead and see what we can do. Honey, are you on the line? I can't hear you. You must be on mute.
Let me take it off. I'm on. I'm now. You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Will you do me a favor, please?
Certainly may.
Would you pray while I try to get this back on speaker, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Oh, gracious Father and our God, we come this day thanking you for your many blessings, thanking you for waking us up this morning and allowing us to see this evening unfold. Oh Lord, we thank you, for it's not because of who we are or what we did or who we think ourselves to be that you allowed us this opportunity to come and to witness to your goodness before your waiting congregation. Yes, this is a congregation, dear Lord, for you say where two or three are gathered in your name, there you'll be in the midst. And so, Lord, we come before you this Wednesday. We come before you at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the various other time zones throughout the world. We come before you humbly submitting ourselves, seeking your divine presence through your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we ask that whatever is said, whatever is done, whatever is asked or whatever is spoken, it is all pleasing in your sight. And, dear Lord, we ask a special blessing upon our anointed sister, my wife, Teresa Jeanette Scott, the evangelist and host of this wonderful program, and her organization, her nonprofit organization, Lord, her ministry, Lord, her calling, Lord, out of a pure heart ministries. We ask, dear Lord, that they will be blessed, everyone that submits themselves to that call. For it's through the heart, and it's only the heart, that truly counts. Lord, bless the other hosts and hostesses on Blog Talk Radio who are professing Christ Jesus as Lord and who's trying in their humble way to bring and lift up your holy and righteous name before a world lost in darkness. Give them understanding, give them wisdom, give them knowledge that they may continue the good work that they are now doing on this Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk TV, and whatever other vehicle they may be using to get the good news out to this world. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will bless our government leaders, Father, for you say that those in authority over us must be prayed for, must be lifted up, must be encouraged,
yeah,
must be pointed to the way of the cross, for they have a weighty responsibility. They have millions upon hundreds of millions of people that are looking to them to lead and guide in a righteous and holy way. Lord, give them the knowledge, give them the wisdom, Give them the understanding first to submit to you and then to do that thing that you would have them to do for your people.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we ask that you will be with the religious leaders, Lord, the church leaders, Lord, the body of Christ as a whole, Father. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, dear Lord, the pastors, dear Lord. Those that work in the Sunday school, those that usher on the usher board, those that sing in the choir, those that are in the missionary society. Everyone who's called to do a work, Lord, bless their work.
In the name of Jesus.
And may they always acknowledge it's your work that they're serving to fulfill.
Yes, Lord.
It's not them. Not their degree and their seminary training and their biblical training and all of that type of thing. But it's you, Lord.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is your calling.
Yes. Okay.
This is your work. This is what you've set us aside to do, even from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
And so, Lord, as we are about the task of pointing folk to you, leading men and women to you, directing them to your presence, Lord. May we never forget and never, may we never get big-headed to believe that it's all about us.
Hallelujah.
But none of it's about us.
Yes.
We, too, are striving to be all that you want us to be. We, too, are filthy rags, only cleansed by your blood. We, too, are only saved through your grace, and it's no work of our own. And so, Lord, as we come this night, we ask, dear Father, on February the 13th, 2013, that you will manifest yourself, reveal yourself in a unique and special way. And may we live that life that exemplifies the uniqueness of your presence in our life. And now, Lord, bless these hours yet to unfold, and bless every listener, whether they be on the telephone, in the studio, whether they be in the chat room or will be later here in the archives, wherever they may be listening to this, at whatever hour they may hear it, may they be blessed by it.
Yes,
in the precious name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Through Bishop Scott for that wonderful prayer. Thank you, Lord. We know we need to have prayer for the president and the government leaders. I'm glad you did that. But before we go any further, I want to invite the listeners to go check out Refuge of God Church and Ministries page. And it's www.refugeofgodmin.com. And that's Refuge of God Ministries. If you would go there and check out our page, I believe we have a contact page there. I'm not sure if there's a page on there to leave a message, but just go there and hit
the... Yes, there is the contact page. You can send your email. You can write us. You can communicate with us. You have our phone number there. Our email address is there. Everything is there for you. Visit our links page. You can link up to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. You can link up Refuge of God Church and other ministries that are about the good work of proclaiming Christ Jesus in this world today. Visit it. You'll be pleasantly surprised by what we're doing. We're still advancing it. We're still improving it day by day until finally we can make this a vehicle by which those who are lost may be found and saved. God bless you.
The email address is rogc.min@gmail.com. Again, that's rogc.min@gmail.com. Okay? On there, if you look at the links page, you have a link to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, Johnny and Friends International Disability Center, Freedom Doors Ministry, and Enriching Words of Life. Enriching Words of Life is Apostle Paul Greenleaf. I can't type and talk, Apostle. It's just not going to happen tonight. that's why I need a co-host, because I can't do the typing and talking thing at the same time. So if anybody would like to get this information, feel free to listen to this in the archives, and you can get the information that way. I will repeat it one more time. The email address is rogc.min@gmail.com. I'm going to try to highlight it and copy it. Maybe I can put it in the chat room that way. That is the email address. Oh, it did it. Okay, that's the email address. Now let me see if I can get the home link. Okay, here we go. I'm going to copy it. I can copy it and do it that way. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for the Holy Ghost because he sure can help you when you don't know what to do. Glory to God. All right, so the link is in the chat room. For anybody else that joins the chat room, the link is in there. If you have any friends or family that you would like to join the broadcast tonight, please give them a call or send them a text or something, and they can call us at area code 323-693-3054. And if they have a question or comment, they can press the number 1 so they can be placed in the caller queue, and I will get them on the air. Let me also say that Refuge of God Church Ministries, we have services on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. We have Bible study. My husband does the teaching, and we're here. It's in our apartment, but we have Bible study faithfully every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And then on Sundays at noon, we have a broadcast, not a broadcast, but we have service here, Sunday service at 12 o'clock. It's just like being in the church. We do what they do in church. We have Bible reading. The pastor, my husband, Bishop Scott, preaches. He teaches. He brings the word. We have music. And it's a regular church service. We actually do like the apostles did. We have service in house until we, you know, God gives us a location, another location to have services on. Now, we're working on trying to get live on the air, Refuge of God Church Ministries, live on the air. So we'll keep you posted on that. And if anything, if we have any more information, my husband will put it on Refuge of God Church and Ministries website. Okay, so I'd invite you to go to that website and check it out, okay? I'm going to play another song, but before I do, I would like for you to get your Bibles and go ahead and just turn to Isaiah chapter 53. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the Gospel of John chapter 3, and we're also going to be talking, reading from 1 John chapter 5. So you might want to mark those right now so you can be ready when we come back from the song that we're about to play. If anybody's in the chat room or on the phone, if you'll be listening to this in the archives, if you have a prayer request, our phone number is 215-747-1514. And if you'd like to call us for prayer, if you'd like to call us to find out any more information regarding the Bible study and the Sunday service, please feel free to do so. If we don't answer the phone, please leave a message, and we will get back with you as soon as we can. Amen. I want to give a shout-out to Apostle Greenleaf, Apostle Timberlake. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, y'all know. So I don't know what y'all plan on doing for your wives, but I'm looking for a cute, nice surprise tomorrow. Amen. So shout out to my husband.
Hey.
Yeah, I just needed to throw that in there right quick. anywho, a wife and a husband should share Valentine's Day every day. We shouldn't just wait for one particular part of the year with someone else set up to determine what we should give our spouses, candy or, you know, whatever we do for them. We should, you know, try to outdo each other every day of the week. Hallelujah. Even though we might not have all the time, the finances to do that, but showing love every day is godly. you know, not just one day out of the week. If you have to, yes, that was a plug. if you have to wait for one day, one particular day out of the week to show your spouse love, then Houston, I think we have a problem. But anyway, that's a subject for another day, amen? So what we're going to do right now is we're going to play another song, and after that we'll be coming forth with the Word of God, amen?
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what
Did you listen to the words of that song? Crucified. Crucified for who? For me. For you. Laid behind a stone. He lived to die. Rejected and alone. Like a rose. Trampled on the ground. He took the fall and thought of me. Thought of you. Above all. Above all. He sacrificed his life. Talking about Jesus. Talking about Yahshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We're talking about Jesus. I think, you know, Jesus' name has just become so common, but sometimes we just need to just sit down and meditate, glory to God, on the sacrifice he gave us. Do we realize really what that means? That Jesus, he took our sins upon himself so that we don't have to die and go to hell. But oh, we don't have to be eternally separated from God the Father so that we don't have to go to hell and then be picked up and cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Do we really understand the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us? Do we really understand that he became that ram in the bush for us? Do we really understand that by his stripes we are healed, redeemed, healed from our sins, healed from our transgressions, healed from our iniquities? And I understand healing in our physical bodies. I understand demons being cast out. And I don't negate that at all. But we need to get back to the fact that Jesus, his stripes represent our healing of sin and iniquity. If you read the whole chapter, you will see that this is talking about sin, iniquity, transgressions. And I don't ever want to just take that for granted and just step over that and just let it be something that's lightly. And what we do is we go through this celebration that was made up by man because we really don't know what the date was that Jesus was crucified. And every year it changes anyway, the celebration of Easter. But we need to remember every day what Jesus did for us on the cross. We need to remember every day that before he went to the cross, he was whipped. He was whipped until he was unrecognizable. He was beaten. He was spit upon. He did all of that for us so that we might have the right to the tree of life, so that we can believe on the name of the only begotten Son, and our names can be written in the Lamb's book of life. And we just take it so lightly. We take it so lightly that Jesus did this for us. I tell you, my husband and I and the grandchildren, we sat down and we looked at, what's the name of that movie, honey?
Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ, thank you. We sat there and we looked at that movie, and I tell you what, that was the most detailed movie I have ever seen about Jesus being crucified, because Hollywood has a way of taking stuff and trying to make it, you know, not so bad. And I remember when he did this movie, he got criticized, and people kept saying, oh, no, he took it too far, and he did this and he did that. Whatever the case is, that movie lets you see just what Jesus endured for us. He endured so much for us, and we just take Jesus for granted. We basically be like, Jesus, yeah, whatever. As long as you do for me, you know me and you good. I'll talk to you when I talk to you. You know, when I need you, I'll talk to you, whatever the case is. We don't even want to talk about Jesus. We don't even want to live right for Jesus. We want to go to church for the shout. We want to go to church for the choir. We want to go to the church because the pastor know how to hoop, and then when you leave, you don't even know what he said. You haven't even coming out any better than when you went in. You just went for entertainment purposes, and a lot of times that's what's happening. People go to church for entertainment purposes, but I think we need to start preaching the cross again. I think we need to start preaching hell and the lake of fire again. And I think we need to preach about what Jesus really did on that cross, and maybe, Just maybe if we begin to preach about the sacrifice Jesus gave us, if we begin to preach about what those stripes of Jesus really meant, maybe we can come out of sin. Maybe we can understand Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12. Maybe we can understand that. Maybe we can understand what Jesus was talking about when he wrote in Matthew, Mark, when they recorded what he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe if we just begin to meditate on what Jesus endured for us, maybe we can stop living in sin. Maybe we can stop giving God our butts to kiss if we would just go ahead and meditate on what those stripes mean. I'm trying to tell you, this thing keeps me, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever he's doing is okay with me. But we need to get an understanding, and we need to get right with God. We need to get right, we need to stay right, and not just get right, but get in a right relationship with him. Because guess what? God is not a toy. God is not a toy. God is not a man that he should lie. And he did not send Jesus to the cross for nothing. And if you would turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, okay, and just begin to read that. Just begin to read starting at chapter 1. Now, we know Nicodemus, we know the story, but it's good to hear the word of God. It's good to hear the word of God. And before I go any further, I want to say good evening to Bible Truth by Benny. I want to say good evening to Enriching Words of Life, who again is Apostle Paul Greenleaf. And I want to say good evening to In His Presence, MWE. And I believe that's Reverend Doris. Glory to God. Welcome tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And Apostle Paul, we're going to do John 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to do, honey, do you have your Bible?
Yes, I do.
Can you please turn to John
okay.
3, and I want you to read that. I want you to start at verse 1, because I like continuity.
Okay.
Just start at chapter 1 and go through verse 17.
Okay, here we are. Chapter 1 of John.
The Gospel of John.
We are right here. As soon as I turn this one page, I'll be there.
Okay.
Here it is. There it goes. I turned it.
Thank you.
The New Living Translation, if that's okay.
That's fine.
In the beginning was the Word, already existed.
Are you reading John 3? Are you reading John 3?
Others are John 1.
I might have, but it's John 3.
Okay, that's no problem. We know that one, too. Turn page two more times. Let me go from 3 to from 1 to 3.
All right.
After dark one evening, a Jewish religious leader named Nicodemus, a Pharisee, came to speak with Jesus. Teacher, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof enough that God is with you. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, the truth is, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives new life from heaven. So don't be surprised at my statement that you must be born again. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people can be born of the Spirit. What do you mean? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected religious teacher, and you don't understand these things? I assure you, I'm telling you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe us. But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what is going on in heaven? For I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on the pole in the wilderness, so I, the Son of Man, be lifted up on a pole, so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it.
Hallelujah. So much for reading that. And welcome to guest number 3705. Thank you for joining us on tonight. So we heard Bishop read the scripture text in John chapter 3, and one thing stuck out really clearly is that you must be born again. This is 2013, and we just think God's going to accept anything from us. We just think that we can, you know, live any kind of way, go to church on Sunday, come back out of church on Sunday, live any kind of way during the week, go back to church on Sunday, sing with the choir or clap with the choir or get up and dance through the church, still come back out, live any kind of way. That does not make us born again.
Amen.
I need for us to understand that going in a physical church building does not make one born again. Can I go so far as to say this? You can go get baptized in water, and that still doesn't make you born again. Hello out there somewhere.
Come on.
We have to believe what my husband just read. For God so loved the world. That means you and that means me. That he sent his only begotten Son, who was conceived by a virgin named Mary, by the Holy Ghost. We have to believe on that Jesus, okay? He sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, and guess what? Can I lay this one on you too? People think that just because they confess with their mouth Jesus that they're good with God the Father. They think that they can confess Jesus and say his name and live any kind of way they want to and still get into heaven. Can I say that that is a heretical teaching? It is a lie, and you're not getting into heaven if you're living any kind of way. The Bible says, and honey, if you can find that for me, or Apostle Greenleaf, if you can find that for me, that not everybody says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. So you can say, Lord, Lord, all day long and still live a foul life, and guess what? That's not your ticket to heaven. You got to live righteously before a holy God. We got to live holy before a holy God. God's not accepting just anything into heaven. When, if you look in the Bible, if you look at the saints of old, if you look at the patriarchs, you will see that the sacrifices that they had to give before God had to be the right sacrifice. They couldn't just offer God anything for the atonement of their sins. The sacrifice couldn't be lame. It couldn't be dirty. It couldn't be broken on it, anything. It couldn't have spots on it if it wasn't supposed to be spotted. It had to be a perfect sacrifice to be presented before Almighty God for the atonement of sin. And they had to do that every year. But see, Jesus, he atoned for our sins.
Once and for all.
He made the final sacrifice. There will be no more bloodshed. There will be no more stripes being beaten on somebody. Nobody else is coming to do that for us. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He was the only one that came to this earth that was without sin. He's the only one who died for our sin. He's the only one who rose again on the third day. He's the only one that's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now in the seat for us. Nobody else can make those claims. But yet we want to take the stripes of Jesus lightly. We want to just crucify him afresh. Remember Jesus on Easter and on Christmas. But what if God the Father only remembered us on those days? What if God only remembered us on Christmas and Easter? What if he only remembered us when he felt like it? What if he only remembered us? What if he had never even sent Jesus to die on the cross for us? What if he never even sent Jesus to bear those stripes for us? We will all be going to hell in the same handbasket and then get picked up and go to the lake of fire. I'm sorry, it's tight, but it's right. I don't even know what else to say. Now, what we're going to do is, honey?
Yeah, I got it. I'm doing that. I'm going to turn it off.
Okay. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 53. We want to read Isaiah chapter 53 because this is the whole point of the scripture. Apostle Greenleaf, can you call in? Can you call the number? Can you call in? Bible Truth Benny or somebody that can read these scriptures for me? I can actually read them, but my eyes are a little bit tired. And my husband just stepped away for a few minutes. So I can try to read this, you guys. Isaiah 53. And I want us to listen to this with our spiritual ears, and I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand if we don't understand, that he will help us to understand what we're about to read. We need to listen to this in the spirit, okay? The natural man doesn't receive the things of the spirit. It's foolishness unto them. So I want us to listen to this in the spiritual realm and not try to, you know, make it be something else that it's not. All right, we just want to go to Isaiah chapter 53. I keep looking to see if somebody's going to call in and read for me, but nobody's called in yet, so I'm going to go ahead and read. Isaiah 53, I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." Hear this. He was wounded for our transgressions. But he was wounded. We're talking about Jesus. And this was prophesied before he even came. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Okay? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him," catch it, "the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." Did you hear that, Apostle Greenleaf? "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." He was stricken. He received those stripes for the transgression of God's people. And verse 9 says, "He was made, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall" what? their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Area code 407, I have you live on the air. Is this Apostle Paul?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Did you hear anything in those scriptures that had anything to do with physical healing?
No, ma'am.
I heard transgressions. I heard iniquities. That's what I heard.
Amen.
Okay, and please, let me say this. I am not saying that physical healing is not a part of that, okay, because we get all of the benefits when we become born again. But
Amen.
This scripture is talking about being healed from our transgressions and from our iniquities, and we need to begin to preach about Jesus, what he did before he got up on the cross, which he bore 39 stripes. With a cat of nine tail, okay? He bore those stripes so that we can be healed, okay?
Right.
Then he went to the cross, all right? He was crucified. They nailed those nails in his hand. They nailed those nails in his feet. He laid his life down for us. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. He laid his life down for us. They didn't take his life. Jesus laid his life down. He didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't say a mumbling when he went to the cross. He took our sins upon him. And before he did all of that, he was in the garden and he was praying. He said, Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went to the cross for us. But before he went to the cross, he bore those stripes. He let them beat him. He let them tear him up. He let them spit on him. He let them do all that stuff to him for us. He did that for me so that I don't have to live in sin anymore. I don't have to go around and give my body to anybody else that's not my husband anymore. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to steal anymore. I don't have to cheat anymore. I don't have to do none of that stuff anymore. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for my sin. I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. If we go to the book of Romans, and I think people really need to study the book of Romans. And we can understand the book of Romans now because now we understand what Jesus' stripes really did. What Jesus really did, he bore our transgressions and our iniquities in his body. He bore that stuff for us. So we don't have to live in sin anymore. If we live in sin, it's because we choose to live in sin. We don't have to live in sin, but if we do it, it's because we want to, because the sacrifice is here. Apostle Paul?
Yes, ma'am.
You wanted to say something?
I just wanted to speak on what you were saying also. You know, we forget sometimes when we get saved. You know, I've seen people, they get saved, they say, oh, I'm saved, I'm okay. But what we got to realize is when we get saved, when we get saved, we're beginning to bear our cross for real, and we've got to want to carry that cross just like he did. He carried his cross for us, but yet we still have a cross that we have to carry. Amen.
We do have a cross that we have to carry, and guess what? A lot of times we don't want to carry that cross.
Exactly.
We don't want to
sacrifice. Our transgressions. It's our sins. It's our battles. It's our iniquities. If we don't carry that cross, how are we going to get rid of those transgressions and iniquities? We got to carry our cross and we got to keep it on our back, just like he did.
But see, that takes sacrifice. That takes surrender.
It takes
surrender. We don't want to surrender. Jesus surrendered his
Amen.
Will to the Father. He said he completely surrendered his will to his Father. That's why he was able to bear those stripes. Jesus knew what was coming. His flesh was like, I don't want to do this. He petitioned God the Father three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If he hadn't have done that, we'd still be on our way to hell.
That's right.
If he had just gave into his flesh, we'd still be on our way to hell in the lake of fire. See, because guess what? Hell is not the final stopping place. There is a lake of fire, and hell is going to get picked up and thrown into the lake of fire. John chapter 3 is something that we should study and really ask the Holy Ghost to give us an understanding that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus took upon our sins. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. The more I study this, the happier I get. The more I study this, the more I want a relationship with God. The more I study this, the more I want to live saved. The more I study this, the more I want to live a holy life before God. The more I study this, because now I'm coming into a relationship with him. It's not just religion, it's relationship. And I'm coming into relationship with God the Father because I'm thankful for what he did for me. I'm thankful that he even allowed me to understand the Bible so that I can accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, so that I can believe in him and what he did on the cross, so that when I do leave this body, when I do leave this temporary home of mine, I can go to heaven. And we should be grateful about that. We should stop taking the stripes of Jesus for granted. We should stop just thinking about Jesus on Easter and on Christmas. He's a 24-hour-a-day man. He's a 7-day-a-week man. He's a 12-month-a-year man. He's a 365-a-day-year man. Yes, he is. He don't change. He's not coming back to take back what he did. He did it. And all he said we do is have to believe in him. And we make it complicated. We're going to pull an Eve. See, guess what? Eve added to what the word of God, what God said to Adam. The enemy, the devil came in, the serpent came in and said, did God really say that? Are you sure he said that? That's all he did. That's all the enemy did. Are you sure he said that? And Eve said, well, he told us not to eat the fruit nor touch it. And all God said was, you can eat off of every fruit in this garden except for the one in the middle. Don't eat off the tree of good and evil. Now you got all these other trees in the garden. You got to go mess with that one. They even had access to the tree of life.
Well,
but they want to go and mess with the tree of good and evil. Well, God said, don't touch that one. That's the very one he said don't touch. But she had to go make it complicated because the serpent came and put a little thought in her head. But did God really say that? Then he says, well, he know that, if you eat of that tree, you're going to become like gods. Now we got folks walking around talking about we're gods. I'm not a god. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm a human being that when my body dies, it's going to return back to dust.
That's right.
That's what I am. And I think everybody I know is the same thing. But when Jesus come back, we're going to resurrect and go back with him. I believe that too. With a changed body. No longer a sinful body. No longer in a sinful state. That's what Jesus' stripes represent. He took that foolishness from us. Glory to God. And everybody's not going to accept Jesus. Now, if you turn to 1 John, I want y'all to see something in 1 John. And I love this scripture. I was so glad when the Holy Ghost showed this to me. See, I'm not the smartest chick on the block, but I'm not the dumbest one either. The Holy Ghost can teach me. I love him because he knows he can teach me. Some stuff I'll be like, oh, I don't know about that, Lord. And then I say, Holy Ghost, I need you to help me, and he'll do that. Okay? And that's a benefit of Jesus taking those stripes for our transgressions and for our iniquities. Okay? We'll have to wait for Easter to tell him thank you for going to the cross for us. We don't have to wait for Easter to wait to say thank you, Jesus, for those stripes that you bore for me. Why do we got to wait for that? Why do we got to wait till we get in church? Why do we got to wait for pomp and circumstance? Why do we got to wait for everybody to look at us? Why do we got to wait for people to pat us on the back? Why do we got to wait for all of this stuff? You can sit in your bed and say, Jesus, I thank you for bearing them stripes for me. Thank you for taking on my sin. Because if you hadn't done it, I would be on my way to hell. Let me tell you, when I was a servant of sin, when sin was my master, I had fun.
That's right.
Can I tell you, I had fun when sin was my master. I ain't going to lie. I liked it when I was drinking. I liked it when I was out there getting drunk. I liked it when I was out there fighting people. I liked it when I was out there screwing around. Yes, I said it. I liked it when I was out there doing it.
Come on
and
now.
And then at some point, I got tired. I got tired
right.
at some point. Because Jesus was drawing me. God was drawing me. He was drawing me. We can't even come to the Father except he draw us. He was drawing me. I got tired of all that dumb stuff. And I started going to church. And the man at Church of God in Christ kept saying, don't you want to give your life to Christ? And I kept saying no. I kept saying no. Until one day in 1988, I finally said okay and gave my life to Christ. Lord, this is Stacy Lattisaw calling me on the other line.
Amen.
I can't take now. I'll have to call her back. I can't go to a song because I'm doing live on Spreaker. I will have to call her back. But, oh, my husband is so funny. But we were in the churn of 1 John chapter 5. And Apostle Paul, I do, you said that's all right. The truth will set us free, so speak the truth. And I don't have a problem speaking truth. I don't have the problem because, you know, I don't know who's listening to this broadcast. And I don't know who's going to be set free by listening to my testimony. I don't know who's going to do that. But I do know this, and I got to find that song, that I was dirty, stinking, and filthy. I was a wretch undone. I was living in a world of sin. I didn't have any hope, and I didn't have any peace within. But somebody told me about that man named Jesus. Somebody kept offering that man Jesus to me. And I was just dumb, and I was just acting like, oh, I don't need Jesus right now. But, honey, I needed Jesus in the worst way. I needed Jesus in the worst way. I didn't understand what his stripes meant for me. They didn't even explain it to me. They just asked me, did I want Jesus in my life? I didn't understand all of that. I really didn't. Hi, Evangelist Stacy. You know what? Thank you for calling me, honey, but I'm live on the broadcast right now.
Call me back.
I will call you back as soon as I get done, okay?
All right.
Bye. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to take that. She called my cell phone. We plan on having a revival with Stacy Lattisaw in June. That's why she's calling me. We're trying to finalize these last-minute contracts and all of that stuff to get her here because we believe in God for miracles. We believe in God for healing. We believe in God that people are going to be set free by her testimony, by my testimony, and whomever else God decides to use. So those of you that can pray, please pray for us that we can get Stacy Lattisaw here. If you know she used to sing, she used to sing when she was still out in the world, and she used to sing this song called I Found Love on a Two-Way Street and Let Me Be Your Angel. But God set that young lady free. She is free, and let me tell you something. When she preaches, she preaches. I had her on the broadcast one evening. I'll tell you something. She allows the Holy Spirit to just use her, and I'm telling you what, people
powerful.
Falling in, and they were getting set free. They were getting set free, so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get her here to Philadelphia so she can be our keynote speaker on Friday. I believe that is June the 7th this year, so please pray for us. That we can get that taken care of. Amen. So we're going to go to Apostle Paul said that used to be his song, Love on the Two-Way Street. Yes. Yeah, Love on the Two-Way Street. Mm-hmm. And Lost It on the Lonely Highway. Lord have mercy. But thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That Jesus found us while we was on the Two-Way Street. Now we on the straight and narrow street. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got to walk on the narrow path right now, hallelujah. We don't want to be on that broad road. We don't want to be on that road where two cars can go past at one time. We want to be on that narrow road, glory to God. We got to be on that narrow road, okay? It's few that find that narrow road, but that broad road, many find that road, many walking on that road. And there's a many people sitting up in these church buildings every Sunday that's on the broad path, and they need to come on and convert and get over here on this narrow path. Accept what Jesus did on that cross, and don't take what Jesus did on that cross for granted. Don't take those stripes for granted. Because if you're a whoremonger, you don't have to be a whoremonger no more when you understand what Jesus did. When you understand that he took the penalty for our sin, you don't have to be a whoremonger anymore. You don't have to be a rapist. You don't have to be a murderer. You don't have to be a homosexual. You don't have to be a bisexual. You don't have to be a trisexual. You know, a trisexual is somebody that'll try anything. Okay? That's what a trisexual is.
Mm.
All right? You don't have to do none of that stuff no more. You don't have to be a murderer with your mouth. You don't have to be a hater. You don't have to be a backbiter, a liar, a thief. You don't have to be none of that stuff. That's recorded in Galatians chapter 5 and other places in the Bible. You don't have to be none of that stuff. Why? Because Jesus bore the stripes for our iniquities and for our transgressions. And once we accept that fact and begin to live like he did that for us, we'll see some differences. We'll see people getting healed. We'll see people getting delivered. We'll see demons being cast out. Why aren't demons being cast out? Why are people laying hands on the sick and they recovering? I'm talking about in mass numbers. I'm not talking about a little bit over here, a little bit. I'm talking about in mass numbers. We're believers, and these signs should follow us that believe. Because we're too busy still living in sin. Oh, I said living in sin. Still, you got people going to church every Sunday, and they still shacking up. Still sleeping with the pastor. The pastor's sleeping with this one, and you married. And even if you're not married, you're walking around, and you're the pastor, and you're still fornicating.
Well.
You're the deacon in the church, and you're sleeping with this one. You're in the choir, and last night you was just in the club drinking.
Well.
Come on now. You're getting high. You got your weed. Oh, don't nobody need to tell me what to do in my own house behind closed doors. Somebody told me that. They said, Sister Scott, you don't need to be telling me about anything I do behind closed doors, because what I do behind my closed doors is between me and God. And I said, oh, that's how you feel? Well, guess what? God is not pleased with you do whether you do it behind closed doors or out in the public. If you're not living for him, if you're still whoring and doing whatever you do, and because you're doing it behind closed doors, you think it's okay because nobody in the church knows what you're doing, I'm going to tell you this. It's not okay with God. Don't let the devil keep making a sucker out of you. Don't let the devil keep making a fool out of you. Don't let the devil keep telling you, oh, yeah, well, the Bible says that everyone that believes, you know, Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so he gave his son for everybody, so you can keep doing what you want to do and everything's going to be okay. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and I rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. It's heretical. It's heresy. If you think that you can just say, I accept Jesus and keep doing what you want to do, honey, I got something to tell you. It's a lie. Ain't no truth in that. And guess what? I'm ready to go and tell the world. I'm ready to go and tell the world. I'm ready to go face to face with whoever I got to go face to face with and tell you this. You must be born again. Born again means that you change your mind about the way you was living. Born again means you're taking on now the characteristics of Christ. And Christ wasn't a whoremonger. Christ wasn't a liar. Christ wasn't a homosexual or lesbian. Christ was none of that stuff. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't a liar. Christ didn't do none of that stuff. So guess what? We need to begin to take on the character of Christ Jesus. But if we don't study Christ, if we don't study Jesus, if we don't study Yahshua HaMashiach, if we don't study his characteristics, how do we expect to change? We got to be transforming the renewing of our mind. We got to change our mind about stuff. We got to begin to hate sin like God hates sin. God, he don't like sin at all. He hates sin. Take a look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. Take a look back at that. God hates sin. Look at all the Old Testament. Look, read through the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Read back through the prophets and see how God dealt with the people when they sinned. I'm talking about his chosen people. His chosen people. If God's not putting up with sin but his chosen people, why do you think he's going to put up with us who were grafted in? We were grafted in because they didn't believe. That gave us the opportunity to come in. So if he didn't deal with his own chosen people, what makes us think he's going to take our crap? Hello, somebody. What makes us think he's just going to take anything that we offer him? God ain't crazy in no day of the week. He's not fooled no day of the week. He's not going to accept funky sacrifices. He's not going to accept strange fire. Okay? I'm not saying that if you go to church that you might feel an anointing up there in the church. You might feel that, yeah, you might feel odd, and you might feel good. You might shed a few tears. You might mess up your weave while you're shouting. You know, you might sweat your suit out and all that when you're in church. You might even say, you know, I got a Hyundai. Help me tie my bow tie because I don't know what day of the week it is. And, you know, you're doing all that speaking in tongues, stuff like that. You might have done all of that. But guess what?
Well.
When you come out to church, you got some living to do.
That's
when
right.
you're behind those closed doors, you got some living to do. And guess what? God sees everything.
Yes,
God is not blind. The last time I checked, I had not seen any news report, I have not seen an updated version of the Bible that said God don't want blind. I haven't seen anything updated in the Bible that said God is deaf now. I haven't seen anything in the Bible that said God has changed his mind about sin. God still hates sin. God is not going to change. He's not going to change for you. He's not going to change for me. He's not going to change for anybody. God is God. He hates sin. He's not changing. It's up to us to change. Now, guess what? Another thing about God that I really appreciate, he's not going to force himself on us. The sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, we either accept that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities and we're healed by his stripes. We can accept it or we don't have to accept it. It's up to us. He's not going to force himself on us. But he did make salvation available. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Word, right? And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You cannot tell me, okay, if the Lord allow me to live, I'll be 49 this year. You cannot tell me, a 49-year-old woman, that you have Jesus, okay, and you still living a lifestyle of sin. You cannot tell me that you're sold out to Jesus, that you're sold out to God the Father, and you still live in a lifestyle of sin. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Better yet, do yourself a favor. Go look in the mirror and tell yourself, you've been lying, child. Go on and get saved for real.
Well.
You don't have to let nobody know you did it. Just go on and do it. You don't even have to do that. Fall on your knees and say, God, forgive me, because I've been lying all this time. I've been thinking I can do what I want to do, and you're just going to have to accept it, and I'm going to heaven anyway. Not going to happen. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and what else?
He shall make you free.
Thank you, honey. I knew you was going to chime in right there. I needed that. Now, turn to Revelation, please. Please turn to the book of Revelation. I want to just read this to you right quick. It's Revelation chapter 22. Okay? I want to read this to you. And I'm going to start at verse 10. Revelation 22, verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy, of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And Jesus says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Did you hear that? My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the what? Right to the tree of life. And many enter in through the gates into the city. Now, this is who's going to be outside of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Did you hear that? These are who are going to be outside. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So people walking around talking about anybody going to go to heaven, it's a lie. Are you lying talking about anybody going to heaven? You ain't getting in the city, buddy, because you're lying. Anybody think God is a punk and he's just going to accept anything? It's a lie. You're not getting in. We got to be born again. My husband read that scripture in St. John. He said, you must be born again. He didn't say come in any kind of way. You must be born again. That means we got to change our mind. We got to get in the word of God. We got to saturate ourselves with the word of God because the word is spirit and the word is life. In the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. This word is alive. Do you hear this? The word of God is alive, and God wants us to understand that he sent his son Jesus, and he sent Jesus to be beaten for us. What kind of love is that, that you send your son to take on the sins of the world? There is no greater love, people, that he sent his son to come down here and get beaten for me, to get beaten for you. But yet you still want to look at pornography and you saying you saved. You still out there buying them books, going to the part of the CVS and the Rite Aid where they got the brown paper over there on a Hustler magazine and old man, that old man, what's his name? Hugh Hefner. Got the brown paper over there, and you over there with a hoodie on because you don't want nobody to know that you over there buying pornography magazines.
Playboy.
I know y'all be buying them jet magazines so you can open up the centerfold so you can sit there and lust at a woman you'll never meet.
God, preach it. Wow, that's good. That's good.
My God.
Woo. You ain't heard that one before, but guess what? That's what happened. Oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do the sneaky tip. I'm gonna get the Jet magazine, and you know, don't nobody look at Jet magazine as a porno thing. Oh yeah, but you got the beauty of the week smack in the middle of the page.
Come on now, or they just go buy them underwear magazines. What is it? Victoria's Secret.
Let me tell you something. You got saints of God looking at these award shows with these people walking on the red carpet half naked, and you sitting there lusting over them. You'll never get Beyonce. You'll never get her. Okay, Jay-Z gonna see to that. You'll never get those people that's on them walking on them red carpets exposing their bodies. You never get them. So you might as well keep your thing in your pants and get over it. Ask God to deliver you from what did I just call it? From lust, or from pornography. Y'all got cable. Your wife go to bed at night, you got the cable on, looking at,
Go ahead, preacher.
And guess what? It's not just the men, it's the women, too. You know, they got, what you call it, Netflix. Netflix, you got Netflix. And people looking at Netflix, looking at the gay and lesbian movies. Don't play with me. You think God don't see that? You think because you behind closed doors, God doesn't see that? Some folk, God can walk in the house right now, and they got all kind of stuff in their house. They got pills, they got weed, they got alcohol, they got all kind of stuff in there. Single people, single women got toys. You know, sex toys in their house. because they in there masturbating, going crazy. Don't we know that when we do this stuff, we open up the door for the enemy to come in? We open up the door for demon spirits to come in, and we wondering why we can't pray. We wondering why we can't read the word. We wondering why we don't want to be bothered with God for real, for real. Because we are bound up with sin. Don't you know the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Don't you know that if we really would understand what Jesus' stripes really mean, that we wouldn't be caught up in that stuff. We wouldn't try to be sneaky and walk around still trying to live in sin, but then talk about we have God on Sunday. And if we would get back to the basics of salvation and stop worrying about putting on theatrics in the church, maybe people can get saved for real, for real. Because I'm going to tell you, if people start preaching about the stripes that Jesus bore, if they really start talking about what the crucifixion really meant, if they still start preaching about hell being thrown into the lake of fire, churches, there wouldn't be 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 members. I'm trying to tell you that right now. These people go into these big mega churches. Yeah, they go to hear the word. A lot of them do. But a lot of them go because they know the pastor's not going to come to them and read their card. And guess what? The pastors a lot of times can't read the cards because the pastors is living in sin.
Well.
How the pot going to call the kettle black?
Well.
Let me tell y'all something. They don't want me. They don't want this anointed vessel of God. And I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm telling you what I know. People don't want to come out of sin. People tell me I'm crazy. I want too much from people. I don't want nothing from you. I don't want nothing from you. Jesus,
that's right.
That man named Yahshua HaMashiach, he went to the cross. He did something for you. And the least you could do as somebody who's saying they're born again is to get right with God.
That's right.
That's the least we could do is get right with God. That's the least we could do is get right with God. But we want to keep living. This life is temporary. Let me tell you something. Just like when Noah was building that ark, people laughed at him, called him names, said all kind of stuff about him. But I tell you what, when that rain came and that the doors of that ark closed, I know they wish they was in that boat with Noah. I know when they was drowning, I know they wish they was in that boat with Noah. The same Noah they was making fun of. So make fun of the message if you want to, because when Jesus comes like a thief in the night, honey, and you didn't make it in, you didn't go in with him, you're going to be saying, please, let me in. It's going to be too late. See, he might just come while you're having that adulterous relationship. He might just come while you're somewhere lying. Okay? He might just come. Why are you on the phone gossiping about this person and that person? You don't know when he come in.
That's right.
And guess what? You might just die before he even get here. How about we just repent? How about we just have prayer service in the church and everybody just get on the altar and repent? And I'm talking about the pastor, evangelist, the prophet, the prophetess, the deacons, the elders, the apostles. I'm talking about all of them.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you something. I read something this morning in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. I read something in there this morning. I'm going to read it to you right quick because guess what? I'm getting ready to stop. So anybody have any comments, I'm going to let you have comments. But I'm going to read you something in Ezekiel, chapter 16. Now, you know you read the Bible and you read the Bible and you read the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit show you something. And you have to take back and stop and take a deep breath because it's like, oh, my Lord. Let me read you something about Ezekiel. Honey, do you have Ezekiel?
Not right here. I mean, I can get it.
I'm going to read Ezekiel. Now, that's a very, very long chapter.
Ezekiel chapter 16?
Yes.
Okay, I got it.
I want you to read the whole thing.
No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. That's too much.
Yeah. Verse
40. Ezekiel 16?
Yes, Ezekiel 16. And if you read Ezekiel 16, you'll see that the people of God were more abominable than Sodom and Gomorrah. They were more abominable than Sodom and Samaria. And some of the problems that Jerusalem had, and it says in verse 47 that Jerusalem was more corrupt than Sodom. And they were guilty of pride. Hello, somebody. They were guilty of pride, excess of food, prosperous ease. Okay, they had a lot of money. So they was, you know, they had a lot of possessions and stuff. They were living an easy life. You know, they were just chilling because they had all this stuff. They did not aid the poor and the needy. They were haughty.
And can I read a little bit of it?
Yeah, they were haughty.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
And they did an abomination before God.
Amen.
Okay? This is what some people, but there's a one particular verse that I'm looking for. And, honey, start reading. Start reading, but go down. Don't start at the beginning.
I got the latter part.
Yeah, go down to the latter part.
It says, I'm going to go to 46.
Go ahead.
Your older sister was Samaria.
Yep.
Who lived with your daughters in the north. Your younger sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters in the south. But you have not merely sinned as they did. No, that was nothing to you. In a very short time, you far surpassed them. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters.
Ooh.
Sodom's sins were pride, laziness, and gluttony, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and did loathsome things, so I wiped her out,
as you have seen.
Even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more loathful things than your sisters ever did. They seem righteous compared to you. You should be deeply ashamed because your sins are so terrible. In comparison, you make your sisters seem innocent. But someday, I will restore the fortunes of Sodom and Samaria, and I will restore you too. Then you will be truly ashamed of everything you have done, for your sins make them feel good in comparison. Your sisters Sodom and Samaria and all their people will be restored, and at that time you also will be restored. In your proud days, you held Sodom in contempt, but now your greater wickedness has been exposed to all the world, and you are the one who was scorned by Edom and all the neighbors of the Phoenicians. This is your punishment for all your disgusting sins, says the Lord. Now, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will give you what you deserve. You have taken your solemn vows lightly by breaking my covenant. Yet I will keep the covenant I made with you when you were young, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember with shame all the evil you have done. I will make your sisters, Samaria and Sodom, to be your daughters, even though they are not part of our covenant. And I will reaffirm my covenant with you, and you will know that I am the Lord. You will remember your sins and cover your mouth in silence and shame when I forgive you of all that you have done, says the sovereign Lord.
Don't that sound like us?
Mm-hmm.
We want to do what the world does.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do like what the world does. Whatever the world says in 2013 is okay to do, we want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's okay to bring sin inside the church because we got to win the sinner, so let's just bring sin inside the church.
Mm-hmm.
The devil didn't creep in the church, honey. We opened up the door wide and let him walk in.
Yes, you did.
We let him walk in. Same thing back there that they did, we're doing today. Letting all kind of lewdness in the church. And we're sitting agreeing, even if some people are not letting in the church, we're sitting there agreeing with lewdness. We're lauding and applauding people that are living in sin. So if people that live in sin are God's enemies and we're lauding and applauding them, don't that make us God's enemy? The enemy's not going to heaven. He can't continue to lift up sin and think it's okay. So the world says it's okay for you to shack up before you get married. We're believers in Christ Jesus. Jesus died. He took those stripes for us. So we don't have to live in sin anymore. We can't take on the ways of the world and expect to go to heaven. We can't take on the ways of the world and expect God to be satisfied. It's just not going to happen. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. Starting at verse 3, it says, "Then the glory of the God of Israel went up from the cherub on which it had been to the threshold of the temple, and he called to the man clothed in linen at whose loins was the writing case." He was carrying the writing case. "The Lord said to him, 'Go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst.' But to the others he said in my hearing, 'Go through the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye have pity and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women, but do not touch any man on whom is the mark. And you shall start from my sanctuary.'" Y'all should mark that. "And you shall start from my sanctuary." God was cleaning house. He was cleaning house, and he said, "You shall start from my sanctuary."
My Lord.
Judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. Judgment must first begin there. Are we really born again? Do we really believe what Jesus did for us? Do we really believe that we are healed from transgressions, from our iniquities? Do we really believe that we've been healed from our sin? Do we really believe that? If we do, then we need to turn away from sin. We need to ask the Holy Ghost to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. If we really believe that, we will make a conscious effort to go forth and make sure that we're living righteous, no matter what the world says. No matter what. Remember, we're not supposed to be of this world. We live in the world, but we're not of this world. We're not supposed to take on what the world does. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be set apart. They should be able to tell the Christians from the non-believers. They should be able to tell that. I know it's a church here in Philadelphia, and their pastor is very strict. And people talk about this man because the women have to wear certain things, the men have to wear certain things, they can't come to church a certain way, and all this other stuff. And I know that the outward appearance is not what's going to make us go to heaven, but you can tell every person that belongs to his church. You can tell there's something different about them people. They don't look like the world. I don't know what they do behind closed doors, but I spotted one of the members in church, and I've never been to his church before, but I spotted one of his members one day when I was on a bus. I was on a bus going to work, and I spotted this woman. I said, she belongs to that church. So I asked her. I was like, "Miss, do you belong to such and such a church?" She said, "Yes." And it was just something different about her to let me know that she was a holy woman of God. And it wasn't just her clothes. That helped the situation because she wasn't dressed like us. It was summer. I had on short sleeve. The sleeves on my outfit was short sleeve. You know, I wasn't exposed to anything, but she had on long sleeves. Her skirt was all the way down to her ankles. She had a hat on her head. She was covered. You know, she was like that, but it was still something different about her that I could tell that she was a holy woman of God. Nowadays, you can't even tell the difference between a supposed saint of God and the world because we acting just like them. We want to dress like Beyonce. We want to dress like the stars. We want to live La Vida Loca and still say that we're going to heaven and we're still saved. We still want to sin and still think it's okay. But God saying, not so. Not so. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a difference between us and the world. Why the world needs to get saved if we acting like them? Just a question. Why does the world need to? What is it that we're doing that would make people want to even be saved if we acting just like them? I'm just saying. I'm done. My husband, Bishop Scott, if you have any remarks, please give your remarks. Apostle Greenleaf, if you're still on the line, please give your remarks. If anybody in the chat room would like to call in, the area code is 323 563-3054, and we can get you on the air. And you know what else we can do? If you post your phone number in the chat room, if you don't want to call in, I can call you if you post your phone number in the chat room. I could do that, too, in the studio. That's a neat feature that they have there. So I'm done. Let's meditate on the scriptures that we just heard. Amen. Meditate on them. It's not about Teresa Scott. It's not about me at all. It's about the word of God. It's about us understanding what Jesus did for us on the cross. Physical healing is great. Physical healing is wonderful. God has healed me. He has blessed my eyesight. Okay? He has healed me so that I don't have to have an operation. I don't have to have an operation on my chest because they thought it was a stent in my chest. God has healed me. There's nothing there. So I don't have to have an operation on my heart or my lungs. Thank God for that. So God does heal today. I believe that. But you know what's more important than our physical bodies being healed? Is our souls being saved. That's what's more important. That's what's more important because our physical bodies can be healed and we still could go to hell. But, honey, if our soul is not right with God, if our spirit man is not regenerated and reborn, that's the way to your matter right there. That's the way to your matter right there. I want healing all day long. I sure do in my physical body. But I want to be right. I want those stripes. I want the stripes that Jesus bore for my iniquity and my transgressions. I want that to matter. I want that to mean something to me. So the next time somebody make you mad in the grocery store and you stand in the line and somebody jump in front of you or you driving and somebody cut you off, remember the stripes of Jesus. You don't got to cuss that person out. You don't got to wish that they be in an accident up the road somewhere. You don't got to talk about their mama or their daddy or whatever. You don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus bore our iniquities and our transgressions. He did that for us. If our spouse make us mad, we don't have to threaten them with divorce like I used to do. I'm going to go. I'm divorcing you because you ain't do nothing but look at me wrong, but I want to get a divorce.
Amen.
He died for that. He took those stripes for that. We don't have to steal and cheat and lie and scheme and whoremonger and all that other stuff. Why? Because Jesus bore our transgressions and our iniquities. Amen. Bishop Scott.
I just want to say amen. I had a point in my mind, but I forgot it now. But we need to heed what you're saying, that God is not mocked and God wants us to be right. God wants us to live right. God wants us to be honest. First with ourselves and then with each other, but mostly with ourselves. We need to look at ourselves, that we need to examine ourselves. You know, my thing is almost coincides with yours in a large sense. I'm looking at the lordship of Christ and whether that really is who he is in our lives, for real. I'm not talking about what it sounds like. We're religiously correct. We're saying the right words. We're saying the words that impresses, that beguiles people and people are taken aback. But, you know, the word tells us we're peculiar people.
Yes.
We're supposed to be peculiar. We're not supposed to be ordinary. We're not supposed to be like the world. The world's supposed to look at us and wonder why we smile when if they were in our situation, they'd be crying. Why we keep on pressing when if they were in our situation, they'd have thrown up their hands a long time ago and surrendered. Why do we keep on doing good when nothing good comes out of it? It doesn't seem like nothing good is coming out of our good works. But we're not looking for applause here in this world. Let me tell you something, dear Arts. There's going to come a time when all the medical and all the miracles and all the healing will come for naught. Oral Roberts was a healer, but he's gone now. You know, I mean, the Catherine Kuhlman, people said they used to give him clothing, and when they put on the clothing, they got healed. But she's gone now.
That's right.
There's going to come a day, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, that everyone is appointed unto everyone to die. So there's something not going to be healed on you one day. There's something's not going to be delivered. You're not going to be delivered from something one day. I don't care whether the heart goes out. That meant your heart stopped. That means that your heart failed. That means your heart was afflicted. There's something that was wrong with your heart, and it stopped. One day you're not going to be on this side of the Jordan. So I'd rather be healed in my spirit. I'd rather be healed of my eternal parts even than be healed in my temporary parts. What did the Lord say? He said, I'd rather be blind in one eye and go to heaven than to have 20/20 in both eyes and look clearly into hell.
You better say that again.
Come on now.
I'd rather have one hand in heaven than have both fingers flying all around, all 10 fingers flying all around in hell.
I know that's right.
You know, we have to understand that this world that we want to cling to so much is a temporary world.
Temporary.
Right.
This world that we don't want to let go of, and you know, I mean, I just want to hold on to the very end. Well, one day it's going to be the very end, dear heart.
So is.
And it's not no eternity to this. There's no everlasting to this. There's no forever in this. There's no infinity in this. If he lived to be 80, that's above average lifespan now. And we've improved in modern times. Used to be 40 and 50 and 60 and 65. Now that's why Social Security is being revamped and all of that type of thing. Because 65 people aren't senior citizens really anymore. They're not on the verge of dying anymore. So they have to push things up. But I don't care if you live to be 100.
Well,
in the scheme of things, that's nothing more than a day.
That's right.
How is 100, how can you compare 100 years with eternity? How can you compare 90-some years with forever?
Can't do it.
There's no comparison. And yet we would rather cling to this world and not even want to go to the next. I believe part of the reason is because we don't know which world we're going to go to. Because if we really truly knew that we were going to heaven, and the little bit that we understand of what heaven's going to be like, because we can't really fully appreciate it. Like that songwriter says, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. Even if we understand the part that we do know from the book of Revelation, from the prophet's words, and other things like that, if we do understand the part that we do know, that's going to be a marvelous thing. Streets made of gold. A mansion with my name on it.
Well,
eternal life. No more tears. Laying beside the lamb and the lion. I mean, come on. No more dying. No more agony. No more suffering.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's what the word describes as heaven to be like. Being able to transport yourself, go through walls. That's what the word says. You'll be able to walk through the doors without opening the doorknob. Go to live in heaven and come down to earth without wings. Wings are given to angels, not to glorify bodies.
We want Jesus.
What a wonderful, what a marvelous, what a fantastic life. But I don't know if I'm going to get there, so I don't know quite if I want to let this world go. Because if hell is worse than this, then I don't want to go. I want to cling to this world. Because at least this world is better than hell, because every once in a while I see a glimpse of God in here. Every once in a while, somebody will do something good. Somebody will do something kind. Somebody will do something humanitarian. Somebody will show compassion. Somebody will show loving kindness. And I don't want to go to a place devoid of that entirely. Because that's what hell's like. You'll never have a cool breeze.
Sure won't.
No one will ever dry the tears from your eyes.
Out in hell.
No, the lion will be devouring you, not laying beside you.
No, Jesus.
If you're lame, you'll stay lame in hell, and things will get worse. If you're blind, you'll be blind, and things will get worse.
Help us, Lord.
There is no reprieve. There is no grace. There is no mercy. There is no compassion, loving kindness. Talk about dog eat dog, man. It's dog eat dog, and cat eat cat, and you eat whatever you can eat.
What?
That's what hell's like.
My Lord.
And just like heaven, it lasts forever. And just when you think maybe it's done lasting, Then they throw hell into the lake of fire.
Uh-oh.
So whoever's in hell is going to be thrown into the lake of fire with hell.
My Lord.
And if you are alive, it says you'll stand before the great white throne, and he'll begin to open up the books and look for your name, and you know it's not there.
Uh-oh.
After he reads all the things in the books, you know, after you hear all that, you know your name ain't nowhere in the book of life.
Uh-oh.
Well.
Then he'll say, depart from me. Assign you to the lake of fire. And there you'll live with Satan, the Antichrist, and the Antiprophet forever.
Don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Jesus, help us, Lord.
See, this is the truth of the matter.
Don't want to be there. Don't want
See, it's good to talk about prosperity. It's good to talk about, you know, that God created you to be fantastic and wonderful and beautiful, and you have this great, great future ahead of you and all that. But let's get to the whole story.
Paul
used to say, my daughter and I used to listen to him. It's my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday, Kimberly. But my daughter's birthday is today, and when we used to sit outside of the grocery store, we used to go to get our little hoagies after I picked her up from school. And we used to hear Paul Harvey, and he'd always say, after this great story he would tell about maybe Winston Churchill that we didn't know nothing about, or some other person that we knew about, but we didn't know that aspect of their life. And then he'll say, and that's the rest of the story.
Mm.
The church has to begin to tell the whole story.
Mm.
Including the rest of the story. Yes, God has a cattle on 1,000 hills for us. But everybody ain't getting it. They need to understand that. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that is about the will of my Father which is in heaven. They need to understand that.
They need to understand,
first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that then all these things will be added unto you.
That's right.
Need to understand that.
That plan.
They need to understand what Hebrews says. The only thing that pleases God is faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not your big Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Not your jet, personal or otherwise.
Bless us, Lord. Help us, God.
Not your virtual palace that you live in.
Ooh. Amen.
It's your faith that pleases God.
Amen.
Not how great of a preacher you are and how good you can sing and how well you can pray. It's your faith.
Amen.
That pleases God.
Amen.
He's not even pleased with how many members you have if you're not teaching them right.
Come on, Betcha.
That doesn't matter.
I don't know about that, Reb. Oh, yes, you do, because remember King David? He wanted to know how many people were in his kingdom, and he took a census because the devil stood up in him. And God punished him, gave him a choice of being punished either in the hands of man, nature, or God himself. He don't want us to be impressed by what the world's impressed by. The world's impressed by numbers. Third world countries got 1 million people. First rate countries like ours, we got hundreds of millions of people. China's a great power because they got billions of people. So we measure success with numbers, whether it be numerical numbers, whether it be monetary numbers, it's always numbers. The bigger the thing is, the better it is. But our Christ started out with 11 men, 12 men. One of them betrayed him, another one denied him, and the other one doubted all along whether he lived or died. He didn't know what happened.
Mm.
Jesus.
It's not how big you start out. That's why he says, don't despise humble beginnings.
Well,
and don't forget where you came from.
Hmm.
Save for God, none of us would be anything, because without him, we would be nothing anyhow, no matter what the world
says
we
that's
are.
Right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, you. Amen. We do it. We thank you. Yeah, you touched me up with that business. Thank you so much, Bishop. This is my husband. Thank you so much. We have a caller on the line, area code 205.
Hello,
area
blessings.
Area code 205, you're on the line, on the air.
Yes, thank you, blessings. This is Bible Truth Benny in the chat room. How y'all doing?
Hey, Bible Truth Benny, how you doing?
I'm doing great. When I heard the bishop say that, I just had to call in and chime in. Because
chime away.
I heard something that just ties into this. I heard this televangelist, if I call his name, you'll probably recognize him. But he said, I ain't in no hurry to go see Jesus.
Oh.
And that ties into these these leaders just clinging to this world, enjoying the pleasures, enjoying the toys and the rich so much, till he said, I ain't no hurry to go see Jesus. He said, I got all eternity to spend with him.
Ooh.
And he's a protege of another man who said something similar. This other man who tutors him also said, I hope Jesus doesn't come back for a long time.
What?
Oh.
We're supposed to be glorious appearance.
And if I told you that man's name, you would definitely recognize him.
I kind of got a feeling of who you're talking about, but I'm not going to say the name because they might try to sue me.
Those who love, when you truly love someone, your attitude is, I'm not in a hurry to see them. I don't want to see them for a long time.
Mm-mm.
But when you love the pleasures of the world more than you love Christ, when you love money, when you love the material things and the material trappings of this world more than you love Christ, those words will come out of your mouth, because the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Yes.
Those words let us know what's in their hearts. They are leading people. They're leading large numbers of people. They're influencing people to have that same mindset.
Yes.
And like the bishop said, this world is temporary. It's going to pass away.
Yes, it is.
The cars we drive, the clothes we wear, the houses we live in,
That's right. It's temporary.
It's temporary.
We're not going to take any of this with us. It's going to pass away. And we have people clinging to all of this. And they love it. See, it's getting to the point where people love what's on the master's table more than they love the master.
My God.
It's getting to the point where their love is not for God. Their love is for the blessings, what they can get out of God. That's what they really love. That's where their heart really is. And the Bible tells us where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And that treasure is in the private jets. It's in the multimillion-dollar mansions, the expensive jewelry, the clothing. That's where they're planning their money. They're not helping the poor. They're not. Jesus said, as you do unto the poor, that's how you're done unto me.
Wow, yes, that's right. That's right.
And you go back to Ezekiel chapter 16. One of the sins of Sodom was neglecting the poor.
That's right.
Our sin is greater. We not only neglect the poor, we exploit the poor.
That's right.
We tell the poor, if you want some of this that I have, then you got to plant seed money in my ministry.
Yes.
And it's a complete disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace.
Yes,
the way
we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yes, we should.
We really should. That's why I said earlier in the broadcast that we just need to have service, and we just all need to get on the altar. You know, we need to just get on the altar, and we don't even have to go to church to do that. We can get on our knees in our homes, you know, and just begin to repent and just, you know, allow God to heal us. Allow the sacrifice that Jesus bore for us, allow that to be real in our lives, you know.
Amen.
And stop playing games. God is not a God of games. He has never played games with anybody since he created us humans. He has never played games with us. He made us in his image and in his likeness. And that's what he wants us to be. He loves us and cares for us so much that he sent his only begotten son to take our sin upon us. And we take it so lightly. We take it so lightly what Jesus did on that cross. Bible truth, Benny.
Sure,
I mean,
we
it's not something that you can just take lightly. And I really am to the point where I'm tired of seeing people, including myself. I'm tired of us just turning our butts up to God and saying, here, just kiss my butt. Because that's how I feel about it sometimes. It's like we just treat God like, you know, That sacrifice wasn't really that. It didn't mean that much. And to some people, it doesn't mean that much. You know?
It's being taken for granted.
It's taken for granted. And guess what? We can take God for granted all we want to, and then the end result, we can't blame nobody but ourselves. We can't blame anybody but ourselves because it's too much work. It's too many Bibles out here. It's too many Bibles that you can get on the internet and read the Bible. You can get on, you know, your smartphone and read the Bible. You can just go in the store and buy a Bible. You know, there's too many people out here teaching the Bible. If you can find them, that's teaching the real truth. And I'm telling you, you got different versions of the Bible that break it down so you can understand it. If you can't understand Middle English, the King James Version, whatever. I mean, there's no excuse for us anymore. It's television programs that teach the Word of God. There's no excuse anymore. But see, we got to get teaching about prosperity because, like you and my husband said, this stuff is temporary. Prosperity don't have no place in heaven. It can't get you to heaven, and it can't keep you out of hell. There's no place for prosperity. And, I mean, we need money. Don't get it twisted. We need money to advance the kingdom of God, but God will provide that. He didn't say nothing about all these jets and all these diamonds draping off of you and all this gold falling off of you and, you know, you got to spend $10,000 for a suit and this and the other. For what? He says, store up your treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt.
Amen.
Excuse me.
And they've gone beyond what they need. It's purely greed now.
Well, you done spent $10,000 on a suit, but when you walk out your house or go downtown, it's homeless people on the street, and you can't even give them a dollar.
Well, say so.
Walk right by them.
Walk right by them like they stink. Don't you know you're walking past Jesus?
Well.
Amen.
And you're the one that's stinking while you're walking by them.
You're the stinky one.
Amen.
You're the poor one. For real, because you're poor in spirit. Not really you in your mentality and your mental thinking, you're poor in that aspect. But those people, they got a better chance of getting into heaven than a lot of us.
Well,
you know,
we walk past them like, oh, well, you got 2 feet, go get a job. That's not your business. When you lend it to the poor, you're lending to the Lord.
Amen.
But we don't look at it like that. We think we arrived because we got a little money in the bank. We got 5 flat screen TVs in the house. We got 3 cars. Don't even use them. Got a closet full of clothes with tags still on them. You know, you sitting in the store getting these expensive suits so you can look like Steve Harvey and so you can look like whoever. Go somewhere and sit down with your rotten suit. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if you can turn your nose up at people that are sitting on the street when you have it to give, you might want to check your salvation.
That's right. Amen.
You got it to give. You get ready to go to McDonald's, and you see that person looking in the trash for food, but you can't give up a meal at McDonald's.
Well,
and you're already overweight.
Oh,
come on.
Jesus.
Come on.
And you don't even have to be overweight. The point of the fact is that you get ready to go somewhere and eat, and you see these people on the street, and you won't even bring them out something to eat.
Hey.
But you sitting there eating and you know, clogging up your artery.
Amen.
And God is pleased?
Nope.
Pleased?
Because
you on TV, because you on Blog Talk Radio, because you on Spreaker, but you ain't done nothing to help the poor. You sitting there, you know, the ease. What that thing we read in there in Ezekiel? Haughty. Excess of food. Prosperous ease. Did not aid the poor and needy. Haughty. You think you're all
right.
That. Pride. You think, oh, because you got a radio program, because you're on TV, because you can go to the store and you can buy any suit you want. You think you all of that. And you're looking at the poor people with holes in their their clothes. Don't have shoes on their feet. But, oh, because they preach prosperity, and now you know how to pimp the people, and now you know how to get the money, you all that and a bag of chips. You might as well just go because you got gasoline drawers on, and I don't want to be nowhere near you.
Uh-oh.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, guess what? Apostle Paul, You got the next 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Amen. I don't have nothing to say but the word of God, and I just want to read this because the Lord has just been flipping me through scriptures as you've been teaching, and I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version, and this is really going to break it down for us, and I'm reading from Ephesians, and I'm going to start in chapter 4, go down to verse 17, and it says...
Chapter 4 of Ephesians?
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And remember, I'm reading New Century.
Okay.
The Lord, in the Lord's name, I tell you this. Do not continue living like those who do not believe. Their thoughts are worth nothing. They do not understand, and they know nothing. Because they refuse to listen. So they cannot have the life that God gives. They have lost all feeling of shame. And they use their lives for doing evil. They continually want to do all kinds of evil. But what you learned in Christ was not like this. I know that you heard about him and you are in him. So you were taught the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught to leave your old self, to stop lying, to stop living the evil way you lived before. That old self becomes worse because people are fooled by the evil things they want to do. But you were taught to be made new in your heart. To become a new person. That new person is made to be like God, made to be truly good and holy. So you must stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth, because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you are angry, do not sin. But be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day.
Uh-oh.
Do not give the devil a way to defeat you.
Those
who are stealing must stop stealing and start working. They should earn an honest living for themselves.
Wow.
Then they will have understanding to share with those who are poor. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say, you will do good for those who listen to you. And do not make the Holy Spirit sad. The Spirit of God is proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the final days come. Do not be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you Christ. And continuing into chapter 5.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Listen to this.
Let me stop you right there for a minute. We have a little bit over 1 minute left on the broadcast. The chat room is going to go out at 7 o'clock. So anybody in the chat room, if you want to hear the rest of this, just call in to area code 323-693-3054. Good evening, the Revolution Radio Show. Thank you for joining us on tonight. But the chat room is getting ready to go out. However, if you'd like to continue with us, you may please call area code 323-693-3054 as we have 1 minute left. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Pastor Benny, you're still on the line. So
yes, if you
want to continue to be on the line and listen, you can feel free to do that. Amen. For everybody else, we're getting ready to go out in the chat room. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. We had a good time in the Word tonight, and we're going to just continue on with this live on the line. Amen. Go ahead, Apostle Paul.
Amen. And it continues into the fifth chapter, and it says, you are God's children whom he loves. So try to be like him. Live a life of love just as Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself for us as sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. But there must be no sexual sin among you or any kind of evil or greed. Those things are not right for God's holy people. Also, there must be no evil talk among you. You must not speak foolishly or tell evil jokes. These things are not right for you. Instead, you should be giving thanks to God. You can be sure of this. No one will have a place in the kingdom of Christ and of God who sins sexually or does evil things or is greedy. Anyone who is greedy is serving a false god. Do not let anyone fool you by telling you things that are not true, because these things will bring God's anger on those who do not obey him. So, have nothing to do with them. In the past, you were full of darkness, but now you are full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. Light brings every kind of goodness, right living and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the things done in darkness, which are not worth anything. But show that they are wrong. It is shameful even to talk about those people in secret. But the light makes all things easy to see, and everything that is made easy to see can become light. This is the way it is said: wake up, sleeper. Rise from death, and Christ shall shine on you. So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because those are evil times. So do not be foolish, but learn what the Lord wants you to do. Do not be drunk with wine, which will ruin you, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always give thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I have to say.
I said it with
the word of God.
That was plain to understand.
Evangelist.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said it can't be no plainer.
It sure can't.
And you was all up in what I'm going to be ministering on Sunday.
All right, now. Same Holy Ghost.
I'm going to give away my topic for Sunday. My topic for Sunday is, are you suited up or dressed down?
Uh-oh.
Are you suited up or dressed down? I'm going
to
stop right
there. We're going to be listening on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock.
That's Sunday at 7.
Well,
you're going to be here.
Give your address.
Amen. It's on TalkShoe. You can go to our website at Enriching Words of Life. I gotta get it. it's a new website, so I don't even know. You can find me on Facebook, Apostle Paul Greenleaf, and on Facebook I post when our services are all the time. You can find me through Evangelist and Elder Scott. We're connected to them. Amen and Covenant. Amen. I send out postings on Facebook all the time. You can look up Enriching Words of Life on Facebook and you'll find us, and that says when our programs are. We're on TalkShoe, so if you know TalkShoe, you can go to TalkShoe and put in Enriching Words of Life, and we broadcast there every Sunday at 7 p.m. as soon as we're done with our bishop. Amen. We'll be with Bishop on Sunday mornings, and then we'll come back and have our Sunday evening service.
And you can find the link to the Apostle Greenleaf's organization and his website on our website. I have a link on my website to go directly to his website. Once you link into my website and go to links, you can find his website right on my page.
Well, amen.
I put his whole thing onto my page.
Amen.
All right, all right. Well, this ends the broadcast, so we just thank God. We just...
Oh, no more words?
I'm sorry?
No more words? Man, I was getting... Oh, that was good. Look, I passed up dinner.
Oh, well,
so
that was 2 hours, and, you know, Blog Talk Radio gives you 2 hours. I'm still broadcasting on Spreaker. Right now, I'm still live, a live broadcast over on Spreaker because we have 3 hours on Spreaker. I'm still trying to learn how to use Spreaker, so I don't have any music over there. I don't know how to really work it totally and completely, but we are over on Spreaker right now. So I think, you know, this evening I'm going to try to see how to work it and get some music downloaded and some other things done over there. Tonight. So,
woman of God.
Yes, sir.
Before you close, I do have one thing I need to do in obedience, so you can just let me know when I can do that.
You can do it now.
Okay, amen. I want to pray for you because as you were ministering, the Lord instructed me to pray for you and for this broadcast today and for any listeners because a lot of good word has gone out tonight, a lot of good, solid word, solid food. Amen. So I just want to pray a covering over this word and a covering over everybody's ears that have listened tonight, that the enemy would not come and try to combat what we've gotten and taking it from our memory.
Amen.
So Father God, we just thank you this evening, God, for this word, God, that has come to feed us, God. And we just thank you for it, God, and we give you the glory and the honor, Father. Now, Father, we ask that you let it stick to the narrow of our bone, God, that we may begin to apply it to our lives, Father. And right now, Father God, we lift up the woman of God, Father, and we ask you to strengthen her even right now. And we bind the attacks of the enemy in Jesus' name right now, that he will not come and try to attack her after giving such a good word on tonight, God. Father, we place a fence, a hedge around her and around her home, even right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And Satan, we call you defeated right now in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
You have no authority in her body, in her home, in her surroundings, in the name of Jesus. We give you no glory whatsoever. You are defeated in the name of Jesus. You're defeated. You're defeated. You're defeated. No attack shall come in the name of Jesus. Not health-wise, financially wise, emotionally wise, in the name of Jesus. We bind you and we curse you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen,
God.
Amen. I just really felt that I needed to do that because as you were ministering, I was interceding and I could see where the enemy was trying to get in and try to attack what you were doing because God is just getting ready to just take you to such a different high level, woman of God, that God said you just needed to be prayed for and know that, amen, Keisha and I are here interceding for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you. I bless your name, God. I thank you.
Yes, yes.
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord God. I bless your name, God. I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you for real people that pray for us, Lord God. I thank you,
yes,
Lord God.
God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
God, I bless you, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord God. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, for your love. I thank you, hallelujah, for forgiveness of sins, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah. And, Lord God, as the man of God, just pray for me, Lord God. I pray for him and lift him and his wife up, Lord God. I pray, God, that you will supply every need, Lord God. Hallelujah in their lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Natural and in the spiritual, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I pray for their ministry, Lord God, that people will come and that they will be delivered, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Evangelist Keisha's healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for everything that you're doing for them right now, God, in the name of Jesus,
Lord
God. We glorify you right now, Lord God, hallelujah. We pray, oh God, for Pastor Benny, Lord God, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for him being on the broadcast tonight, oh God. We pray that you will bless him continuously, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus for, hallelujah, every person on the broadcast tonight, Lord God, my husband, oh God. I pray for him, Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you would even touch his body and heal him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God. And Father, I just say thank you for it right now, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
But, Father, I know that when we came together, Lord God, you told my husband that you were going to use me, Lord God, for his healing, Lord
God.
And, Father, I just pray for that to come to pass according to your will, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And, Father, I just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah for what you're doing, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord God. Help us all to surrender completely to your will, mighty God. Name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord God. Help us not to make excuses, not to make provision for our flesh, oh God, hallelujah, but that we will completely surrender to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, for we say, Lord God, nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh God, we plead your blood, Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus, oh God, over every ministry, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. We bind and rebuke pride, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Help us not to be, Lord God, like we read about tonight, Lord God. Help us not to be proud and haughty, oh God. Help us, Lord God, that we will give to the poor, Lord God, for we know that when we lend to the poor, we're lending unto you, Lord God. Help us to be steadfast and move while always abounding in your work, Lord God, hallelujah, for we know that our labor is not in vain, oh God, and we just glorify you, Lord God, and give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Glory to God, hallelujah, amen, 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 hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. So I just thank everybody for joining us tonight. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Bible Truth by Benny, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we close out?
No, I don't have anything to add, but I'd just like to say that this program has been a tremendous blessing to me, and God bless everyone.
Amen. Thank you so much. Glory to God. Next week, we're looking to have some guests on. If I don't get who I'm expecting to have on Monday, we are going to have Apostle Timberlake on Monday, I believe, okay? And then if the Lord says so, we'll have Apostle Paul on Wednesday. Okay, if that's agreeable with Apostle Paul, because I don't know your work schedule, but if that's okay, then next week we'll schedule that. Amen. And then we'll have your wife on the following Monday, if the Lord wills. Amen. All right, so God bless you. God keep you. And y'all know my number. Give us a call. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great night in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good night.
Good night.